America spends more money on education per student than virtually any other nation on earth. And yet we've seen the dumbing down of America. We continue to see that. We've seen the closing of the American mind. Boy, it's even worse now than when Dr. Bloom wrote about it many years ago. And we also see radical agendas promoted in the schools. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And our guest is Catherine Dang, who is a Christian educator, and she's going to talk with us about education. And her website is philomath.com, philo, philomath.com. And Catherine, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
So let's start with what I said at the very opening, the fact that we spend so much money as a country on education per students. And a lot of times the educational establishment says, well, you know what the problem is? We just don't have enough money. We need more money. Send us more money. But then the question is, does that not just exacerbate the very problem in the first place? So what's wrong? What's gone wrong with the American educational system?
Well, we know well that the matter of anything that is troubling us isn't money. I would say we have to address education from the standpoint of why we educate, what we educate with, and our methods of education. That has been these things are the philosophy that we have been applying over these many years.
Well, okay, so in other words, what you're saying is part of the whole problem with the educational system and its direction in the last couple of decades is the philosophy of education, as opposed to, let's say, colonial America, where people were a lot better educated. But their philosophy then was the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, reject God and, you know, the whole thing kind of ultimately just kind of falls apart of its own accord. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. We have strayed away from the foundation of true education, which is biblical education. And we have been educated for over 100 years in what we call atheistic education, progressive education, which we are all a product of.
Well, there's so many born-again Christians in America, I mean, even though the numbers, you know, vary and so forth. But many of them have their children in educational systems and situations where, frankly, the parents themselves would probably disagree if they understood some of the things being taught. How do we just reclaim, let's say, the education of Christian children in America?
Well, we have to understand what kind of education, secular education, is. The American Christian or Christians in any nation are responsible for the quality and kind of education children receive. And so they have shifted their responsibility over to what I call secular or socialistic education. And that is on the shoulders or the responsibility of the home, the Christian home in particular. So why is it that Christian families have their children in a secular institution to raise them up for the Lord through secular education?
Well, in many cases, you have a situation where homeschooling, let's say, is not an option. You've got a situation where, let's say, because of the dollars coming in and the costs, the high costs of everything, both parents have to work. So the homeschooling's not an option. They can't afford the local Christian school if there is one. And so the public school down the street seems like it's okay. And there it is. I mean, it seems like, a lot of people are just sort of almost stuck with the education system. We know it's not ideal, but what are the alternatives realistically?
Well, God's law cannot be an option. It's a personal conviction, persuasion of is God the author of education, or is there an alternative to God's way? That's how we have to reason. And I believe home education has begun as parents on a personal basis make the decision to follow God's way of home education, responsibility for the raising up of God's children for God.
Do you think COVID-19 impacted homeschooling? I mean, it's my understanding that there has definitely been a rise in home education after the pandemic.
Well, you know, you can take your children home, but, you know, how you educate and why you educate is a different matter. What is the biblical philosophy of education? What is the purpose of education, biblically speaking? And I suggest to you that God would have his children, that is, the children that he has brought into the world, that they might know him, and then that they might be governed by him and obey his laws according to the scriptures. And everything God creates has a law to it. He has a law to the home. He has a law to marriage itself. He has a law for civil government and education. And we're so ignorant that we have brought upon ourselves this situation where we have the only alternative in our thinking is man's way.
Tell me about your own personal background when it comes to education and how you have come to, you know, the worldview that you now have related specifically to Christian education.
Well, as most of us, I think, there was not available in any sense of the word Christian schools as I was brought up. And I went through public school like everyone in my generation. I graduated from the University of California, Berkeley, as a Christian. I came to the Lord when I was 9 years old, but I had no positive response to evolution, to socialism. In fact, I was a socialist in my reasoning. I had no other alternative to reason out society's ills, and there was no biblical answer except salvation through Jesus Christ. But it stopped at that point where the world was out of reach as far as solutions were concerned. And then I came to understand through introduction to America's Christian history through the Institute of FACE, Foundation for Christian Education. Some of you are familiar with Ms. Verna Hall's volume, where I was introduced into providential history and God's hand in all men and nations working. So I've been an educator of a providential philosophy of education for over 53 years.
Okay, and can you explain what that exactly means? What's a providential approach to history, you know, as opposed to what you'll find in your average public school today?
Well, I came to understand that God is directing all the affairs of history, and that he is, in fact, the governor, as Psalms, was it 22:28 states, he is the governor among the nations. And that nations are divine institutions, and that we who are actual stewards of our own separate nations, that we might bring it under the government of God's laws, a self-government of the individual.
How did this kind of philosophy work itself, let's say, in colonial America, for example, among the Puritans?
Well, the Pilgrims actually came first before the Puritans, and they were not statists. They were not for the state church as the Puritans were, but they came as separate congregation who met to follow the Lord's word rather than the the king's word or the king's church. And so they began this local New Testament church government and deposited it actually in Plymouth. And so that became the model for civil government. And America is a result of biblical reasoning, a biblical education that concern not just spiritual matters, but also matters concerning men and nation. And it generated from that point throughout the colony. In fact, the most influential cultural book was the scriptures from 1607 to 1783, says Lawrence Kremen, who wrote three volumes on American education. So it's documented.
What happened in 1783 that would be almost a cutoff to that?
Well, a cutoff point, that was just prior to the Constitution of the United States in 1787. So we had separated from England based on a biblical view of civil government. And if you look at the Declaration of Independence, it's established on the idea of God the Creator, God the Most High or Supreme Judge of the world, and God as divine providence. That is foundational to our education, to know who God is in this life.
Yeah, but going back to, I know you mentioned the difference between the Pilgrims versus the Puritans, but it should be pointed out, the Puritans, which was the much larger group, they were so committed to education, as were the Pilgrims, of course. John Adams said that to find an illiterate man in New England, and frankly, that's because of Puritan influence, was as rare as a comet, because the children learned how to read and write because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And even their ABCs, you know, taught biblical truths. I mean, the New England Primer was such an important and valuable book. Would it be fair to say that in the first two centuries of America, in one way or another, the Bible was the chief textbook? And the answer, I guess, based on what you've said, is yes. And you even gave us a reference to, you know, a man's three-volume book on that. But what else do you want to say about the Bible and education? Were they literate when the Bible was the most important book?
Well, of course, you're correct. But I want to emphasize that it was the Pilgrims who convinced the Puritans who came in 1630, 10 years after the Pilgrims, to leave the idea of a centralized church and have independency, that is separate congregations. So they came as state church organizers and began to, again, propagate independent congregations who were self-governing. And that's the basis of marrying the intellectual prowess of the Puritans and their scholarship with church government.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, so in other words, the influence, even though the Pilgrims were not powerful in this world, they were extremely influential even in that particular matter. And by the way, all of the above would have been to give a denominational name, congregational, and so forth. Well, we have about 15 seconds left. Is there hope for America's education?
Well, it's the restoration of this type of biblical education that I'm speaking of, where you apply your reason to the scriptures in every subject you teach. And there's such a marriage and a corruption of worldly thinking in our even Christian circles that we need to, again, go back to biblical education where it's foundational to every subject.
Catherine, thank you so much for being with us. Catherine Dang, her website is philomath.com, philomath.com.